2025 marks the 60th anniversary of the first Honda Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix. More than half a century later, the drive and innovation that powers Honda Racing still inspires everything Honda does, from F1 victories to the Civic Hybrid being named the 2025 North American Car of the Year. Honda Racing is leading the charge when it comes to innovation. And here's where it gets really cool. Every Honda-powered F1 car is packed with sensors, hundreds of them, all feeding live data straight back to the Honda Racing team in Sakura, Japan. We're talking about real-time analysis that helps engineers squeeze out every ounce of performance on the track. And the amazing part? That same cutting-edge thinking is making its way into the cars we drive every day, thanks to the expertise of Honda Racing engineers. Their work has led to advances like the hybrid technology now used in Honda's consumer vehicles. The 2025 Civic Sedan Hybrid is engineered for fun, from the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Civic and the latest Honda innovations at Honda.com.
This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free select DeWalt, Craftsman, or Kobalt tool with purchase of a select battery kit. Plus, get a free Werner 2-foot aluminum ladder when you buy an 8-foot fiberglass ladder. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
For the first time in a month, it's race week again. Formula One is back after the summer break. We've got 10 races remaining in this incredible 2024 season, starting in the Netherlands this weekend. Welcome everyone to F1 Nation's preview of the Dutch Grand Prix at Zandvoort. I'm Tom Clarkson, and joining me is Dutch journalist Erik van Haren from De Telegraaf. Erik, it is great to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm excited for the season to get started again. I hope I sound a little bit excited. You sound excited, Tom, so that's good to hear. But I don't know how it is with you, but the Formula One is now in such a good momentum. It's so exciting every weekend. And then I think it's good for everyone to have a short break, 2-3 weeks. And then for us as Dutchies, it's great. We start now in Zandvoort again, of course.
Well, everyone's coming back refreshed and relaxed. I'm slightly bored of looking at Instagram photos of drivers on boats in hot places. It seems that's what all 20 drivers have done, except actually Valtteri Bottas, who I noticed has been he's been training on his mountain bike ahead of the Gravel Mountain Bike World Championships in Belgium at the beginning of October. But it seems everyone else has been on a boat. Well, actually, Lewis as well has been in Africa, hasn't he? But yes, refreshed, recharged. Look, what are you looking forward to most as we look at the final 10 races of the season?
Well, last year, of course, it was quite a dominant season from one team and one driver in particular. And now we have like every race weekend, it's a question mark before the weekend, which team is the dominant one. Of course, McLaren is great in every kind of circuit, I think, at this moment. Red Bull is still a little bit question mark as well. Mercedes won 3 out of the last 4 races. So, and Ferrari, you don't have to count them out as well. So that's the most exciting bit, that every way, a race, every weekend, every type of circuit, we have a little bit of question marks before we go into the weekend. And I'm not neutral, of course, because we go to Zandvoort. But for me, that still is one of the best events of the year. What they did there is a great job. So maybe you are more neutral as an English guy, Tom. So maybe hopefully you can back me on this. But the way that event is organized and the whole vibe there, we have 24 races now. So I think it's quite difficult for promoters to stand out, to shine and to say, okay, we have a unique event. But I think they've done a pretty good job there.
I'm not neutral, Erik. I absolutely love the Dutch Grand Prix. I love the location of Zandvoort with all the sand dunes being right on the coast, the North Sea coast. I love the fact that it is such an environmentally friendly race. Everyone seems to turn up by bicycle. I think the track is hugely challenging, very fast and flowing, quite old-fashioned, actually. So no, I'm not neutral. I absolutely love it. Yeah. And give me a strudel waffle any day.
Yeah, but it's quite nice to see I just spoke with the guy last week who was going for the environment, what you said, and the whole project. And he said there are 40,000 parking places only for bicycles. And like there are 12 trains in 1 hour coming from Amsterdam to Zandvoort. So every 5 minutes there's a train coming. So that's great to see. I think they've done a pretty good job, because I remember end of 2017 or something, they had the first report coming out that it's possible to have F1 in Zandvoort. And everyone was a little bit laughing about it. Like, if you go to Zandvoort on a busy beach day, it's impossible to get in and impossible to get out. So good luck with that. And yeah, they've done it really, really good, that 98% of the people are coming not by car. So it's pretty nice there.
And the atmosphere is amazing. And this year it's Max Verstappen's 200th Grand Prix. So I feel that, you know, the Orange Army is going to go mad for him. But let's just remind everyone of the standings as we go into the Zandvoort weekend. Max Verstappen leads the World Championship. He's 78 points clear of Lando Norris in second. And after 10 podiums in a row, McLaren are just 42 points behind the leaders Red Bull in the constructors' standings. Mercedes are further back in both championships, but as you said a moment ago, you know, they've scored 6 podiums in a row, winning 3 of the last 4 races. But let's start with Max Verstappen. You say 98% of people are not coming by car, and I would say 98% of people at the track are supporting Max. Is that fair?
Yeah. I think Lando has a good amount of people cheering for him as well in the Netherlands. And I think you saw the last couple of years, they can cheer for everyone. Fernando was on the podium, Alonso last year. He is popular in the Netherlands as well. So you know, also Lewis Hamilton in the first year in 21, when we had the fight between Lewis and Max, I think the people were very cheering for him as well. So that was also good in that particular year. Also good for the image of Zandvoort. But Max is, I keep saying it. It's like it's his season number 10 for him in Formula 1. And still, the amount of people, he some Dutch people, you get to the tracks, if you see the people in Austria and Spa and everywhere in the world, Singapore as well, there are a lot of Dutch fans going there. And that's because of him. You can say, oh, they love the sport, blah, blah, blah. Of course, there's a small amount already following Formula 1 for 20, 30 years. But like an individual sportsman like him, he is like, they like his driving, but they also like his personality, that he's so straightforward, giving his opinions all the time. So it's still nice to see how popular he is. And that's not, it's not a hype anymore. It's more than that. If it goes on like this for 10 years, now he has a more difficult year in terms of the competition, and he still is managing to win a lot of races. I think the respect is even more and growing for him, because it's everyone can see, if you are an expert or not, that he is doing a tremendous job.
I think he's incredibly bright. And the way he has navigated all of the politics at Red Bull this year, by saying what he's wanted to say, to get his point across, but still keeping all camps on side. He is intelligent. And he's passionate as well. And I love that, because sometimes in Formula One with drivers, you don't get both. You don't get the intelligence and the passion in the same person. Sometimes it's just passion. Sometimes it's just intelligence. But Max has both. And I think that's almost unique on the grid.
Yeah. But also, I think it's good that the team and the people around him, his manager and his father, are not saying to him, like, don't say this, don't say that. Of course, they advise him, but they let him be the real Max, the real deal. So I like that, though, of course, as a journalist as well, because you always have a story.
I love his reaction to the field converging around him. I genuinely think he's relishing the battles that he's having to put up this year. And it's a sort of been a reminder of just how dominant the car has been for the last 2 years, isn't it? But this year, he's loving the battles. And I think this is his best season in Formula One so far. I look back to, you know, Imola, for example, when he won that Grand Prix in not the fastest car. He had Lando Norris breathing down his neck in the closing stages. Do you remember he won it by less than a second? Do you think this is his best year in Formula One?
Yes, I think last year was really impressive as well, because it's very easy to say, okay, he had a dominant car, which was the case. But if you look at, for example, all the races in the summer, before the summer break around Europe in June, July, I think every single race weekend we had some rain on Saturday, Sunday, maybe both days, which is also causing a lot of different circumstances. And he still managed to win almost every race. This year as well, it's really impressive. You see now his experience as a world champion. You know, you don't have to win every single race to be world champion. Of course, he has a big gap already because of the beginning of the season when Red Bull was really dominant. But also the last six, seven races, I think it's easy to say McLaren at the dominant car, the best car. Maybe not dominant, but the best car in a lot of races. And still, Lando Norris was not capable to close the gap. I think only in Monaco and in Hungary, he won some points if you look at Max. But in all the other races, Max extended this gap. So, yeah, that's said enough for me. If you look at the car and also the performance of his teammates, Checo Perez, because Perez is not a bad driver. I think no one will say he's a bad driver, but he shows how difficult the car is.
Well, and it's 14-0 in qualifying to Max. You talk about last year, and I agree he was brilliant, but I think maximizing the performance of the fastest car and delivering is not easy, but it's one-dimensional. You're a fast driver of racing cars. It adds a completely new dimension when you're scrapping on track with other people while still trying to maximize the performance of the car. So I feel we're just seeing more depth to Max Verstappen this year, and he's been fantastic.
He showed how he can be champion in different ways. Of course, in 21, his first title was, of course, after a great battle with Lewis Hamilton. 22, at the beginning, we had the fight with Ferrari, then Red Bull became dominant. 23 was a really dominant season, but now, for a driver, I think it's great. Sometimes, maybe he will not accept it. Of course, he wants to have the dominant and the best car, but sometimes if he has not the most dominant car, you can show how good of a driver you are. And I think he's doing that for the last couple of months for sure.
What about his future, Eric? There has been so much speculation. Will he stay? Will he go? He said in Austria, he actually came out in Austria in the press conference and said, I will be a Red Bull Racing driver in 2025. Are you confident? Does the fact that Jonathan Wheatley is now leaving to go to Audi, the fact that Adrian Newey's going, are you confident he'll be there in 25?
Yes. But the thing is, in Austria, he said he would stay, but that was, of course, after three or four questions, Tom, you remember? It was not that he said it that directly at the beginning. And then the third question from Ben Hunt, it was, I think, then it was yes or no. And of course, he couldn't say no, because then there was a crisis that weekend. But I think it has always has been his intention to stay for next year, for sure, at Red Bull. Only when there's a big chaos, or maybe, I think in Jeddah, he said when there was some speculation that Helmut Marko, the top advisor, was going to be suspended, then he was quite clear. If he goes, I go. And that didn't happen, of course. But I think it's always his intention to stay at Red Bull for 25. So, but it's a fair point. He said as well in the beginning of the year with all the questions that for him it was important that the important people at the team stay. And now it's quite interesting to see that Newey and Wheatley, people who are there since 2006, I believe, are leaving a few months after each other. So that says that it's not that quiet at Red Bull. But of course, you can say, like Jonathan Wheatley, he goes to Audi to be team principal. So you also can say, okay, that's a promotion for him to be team principal. And that space that is not there at Red Bull because Christian Horner is there in charge. So you can also look at that, but I'm curious what Max will say about this Thursday in Zandvoort, because of course we will ask about that, but I don't think that will change anything for his plans for 25. I think for 26 it will be very interesting what he will do.
Watch that space. And do you think Checo Perez will be alongside him at Red Bull in 25?
That depends on the next couple of months. I was quite surprised they go along with him for the rest of the year, but I think the explanation is that there is not a guaranteed good replacement. Someone will be doing it for sure better than him, with Ricciardo and Lawson, that there are too many doubts about it in the team.
Hang on, Eric, hang on. There was a guy called Carlos Sainz on the market.
Yeah, but
ready to go.
I don't think they will put Carlos Sainz next to Max Verstappen. I think that's too... On the political side, it's Formula One, so we speak about politics as well sometimes. I think that's not a clever thing to do. After the 2015 season, when they were teammates at Toro Rosso at the time, I don't think that's a good... I never think it was a concrete idea for Red Bull to put Carlos Sainz in. So, no, I don't think that will happen. But still,
whereas Eric, do you think that Perez is a benign influence who isn't political and just gets the job done, now knows his place in the team as well?
Yeah.
So isn't a threat.
I think it changed a bit after 22 when they had their incidents as well. Remember Monaco and Sao Paulo. But I think now this year changed, because last year as well at the beginning, Checo started really good. He won two of the first four races. And then he was starting a bit like, I want to be champion. And his father was quite, he has a big voice in the Mexican media. And this year we didn't saw anything of that at the beginning of the year as well, when Checo was quite in a good form as well. So I think he knows his place. And that's what I think that was the reason for Red Bull to give him a two-year extension at that time to create some silence and some peace in the team. But yeah, that didn't work out because his performance was not good enough the months after. But I think they genuinely hope that he will do better, and that that at racetracks where in the past, like Baku, where he performed well, that he will get his form back.
That's the sound of a new sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business thanks to its simplistic approach to online and in-person selling. It's already revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide because Shopify knows what you need to make your dreams a reality. It's got all of your sales channels covered, from a shopfront-ready POS system to its all-in-one e-commerce platform, and it even helps you start selling across social media marketplaces like Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Shopify knows that every business is unique. It doesn't matter if you're selling personalized prints or pet accessories. Its industry-leading tools are designed to give you complete control over your brand without needing to learn any new skills in design or coding. It's incredibly empowering for entrepreneurs, no matter where you are on your journey. You can customize your online shop to suit your style, connect with new customers to drive growth, and most importantly, Shopify is set up to support your success every step of the way with its award-winning help and extensive business course library. It's time to get serious about selling and get Shopify today. This is Possibility, powered by Shopify. Sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/nation, all lowercase. Go to shopify.co.uk/nation to take your business to the next level today. shopify.co.uk/nation.
2025 marks the 60th anniversary of the first Honda Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix. More than half a century later, the drive and innovation that powers Honda racing still inspires everything Honda does, from F1 victories to the Civic Hybrid being named the 2025 North American Car of the Year. Honda Racing is leading the charge when it comes to innovation. And here's where it gets really cool. Every Honda-powered F1 car is packed with sensors, hundreds of them, all feeding live data straight back to the Honda Racing team in Sakura, Japan. We're talking about real-time analysis that helps engineers squeeze out every ounce of performance on the track. And the amazing part? That same cutting-edge thinking is making its way into the cars we drive every day, thanks to the expertise of Honda Racing engineers. Their work has led to advances like the hybrid technology now used in Honda's consumer vehicles. The 2025 Civic Sedan Hybrid is engineered for fun, from the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Civic and the latest Honda innovations at honda.com. Let's focus on Zandvoort now. We've said how unpredictable the season is at the minute, but let's start with Red Bull. How do you rate their chances of success? I mean, Max has won from pole position for the last 3 years. It's a high downforce track. You need aero efficiency. You're running the hardest three compounds that Pirelli bring because of the forces that are exerted on the car. Does it all point to a Red Bull victory like it would have done for the last 3 years?
No, I think this will be the hardest one for them. If you look in advance, high downforce track will not be that hot because we are in the Netherlands. So I think it's more McLaren track. But I also have to say, if you look at Max's qualifying form this year, last year Ferrari managed to get a lot of pole positions. This year it's mostly Max who gets pole positions. And his qualifying mode is is really good. So, and you know, in Zandvoort, especially when it's dry on Sunday, it's really difficult to overtake. So I don't think they are the top favorite if you look at the car and the characteristics of the circuit, but I will not be surprised if Max is managing to get it on pole position. And then, of course, you can win that race there because what I said, the track is not a lot of overtakes normally.
Well, you mentioned McLaren. Norris and Piastri both have race wins under their belt. They have found consistency getting on the podium regularly. Do you think they start as favorite?
Yeah, I think so, if you look at the car. But that's why I say when you look at the car, I think what we also saw the last couple of months that McLaren, they won two races, right? Miami with Lando and Hungary with Oscar. If you look at the car and the dominance of the car, that's not good enough. They made some strategy mistakes, which they said as well. Lando is quite hard on himself sometimes and he made mistakes. So yeah, for the championship, it was, I think they didn't do a good job for the team, of course, as well, for the constructors, but individual, I think Lando, the gap with Max should be not as big as now. So I think that also gives the Dutch fans hope that Max is capable to win. But if you look at the car and what I said at the track, I think McLaren is favored, yes.
Yeah, and you know, what are they? I said they're 42 points behind Red Bull. And I think that is the championship that they're hopeful for. I think that 78 points behind Max, if they're being true to themselves, I think they think that's too far out of reach.
Agreed. Yeah, yeah, we have the 10 races and three sprints. Yeah, the current kind of cars, they're quite reliable. Max is, what I said, quite good in being a championship driver. So knows to not take all the risk at the first lap and things like that. I think 78 points is too much, but 42 in the constructors is not that much. And I think they're really ambitious and also really confident that they can win that title. And I agree on that one. Yeah.
All right. So that's McLaren. I think Mercedes. Let's talk all things Mercedes now. You know, we're 4 months away from Lewis Hamilton leaving the team. So we've got, I think, an emotional roller coaster coming up with each race that passes. I think, you know, Lewis is a passionate guy. He has achieved so much with that team. And as the end gets closer, I don't think there'll be tension, but I think the moment won't be lost on Lewis. And of course, they will start having to squeeze him out of various conversations about next year's car, which will feel very strange for him because it's kind of his team. And then, of course, George Russell lost the victory last time out in Spa because of the car being underweight. So he's coming back, I would imagine, you know, feeling a bit bruised and with something to prove. It's just a case of, is the Mercedes now an equal to the McLaren?
Well, I think that's too soon to say. If you look at the victories, of course, they won 3 out of 4. But Austria, George won because of the Lando and Max touch. Of course, Silverstone was a great victory of Lewis. Also gets the pressure away from that one. Like, okay, it's not, we don't have the talks anymore that Lewis' last race win was end of 21, blah, blah, blah. So that's also good for him in his last year. And then, of course, in Hungary, or in Spa, sorry, they were 1 and 2. But, of course, there was the benefit that Max was having the grip penalty. I think otherwise Max could have fought for the victory as well. So you can say they are not the quickest car. That's a fact. But also, you cannot say it's a coincidence they win 3 out of 4 races, not all luck. So in this track, what I said will not be that hot. I think that's good for Mercedes. And what you see with them is at the beginning of the year, they were still finding their problems with the car. Now they know what the problems are. So now they are going a bit in a more in the mode of fine-tuning and going into the details. And I think that's the thing you need at the end of the process, because if you don't know what the problem is, then you have a big problem. And that was the case, of course, in 22 and 23 with Mercedes. So I'm curious to see. And it's also with McLaren and with Mercedes, and with Ferrari and a lot of teams, that the teammates are really close to each other in qualifying and in the races. And that's not the thing what we see at Red Bull, of course. But I think they're in a good momentum, and it will be very interesting to see what they can do the last 10 races, if they can still are managing to get that development going on. And then for sure, we have a lot of fun next year as well, if 3 or 4 teams are so close to each other.
Eric, it's interesting you say that, you know, the teammates are close to each other in qualifying, because that's definitely the perception, right? But actually, when you look at the three teams you mentioned, George Russell is 10-4 ahead of Lewis Hamilton in qualifying. Lando Norris 12-2 ahead of Oscar Piastri. And it is close at Ferrari, 8-5, of course, with Carlos missing the Saudi race. So it is close there. But, you know, Norris 12-2 ahead of Piastri.
But you see, Piastri made good steps last 2 months or so in race pace, because we saw in this in last year and also beginning of this year in the races, he had difficulties to keep the tires alive. And I think he is doing a better job the last couple of weeks. That's a little bit more the story behind the statistics. And I think Lewis, 10 forward George, is quite a big number in qualifying, which you see on the Sundays. Lewis is a lot of times a bit quicker in race pace because his tire management is still on point. So, that's more also the situation. But I agree on you on qualifying. If you read the numbers out loud, it's not sounding that close. But still, sometimes George beat Lewis maybe with half a tenth or something. It's not with Red Bull where you see Max and Checo sometimes it's 3, 4, 5, 6 tenths. So that's also, of course, a perspective.
And what about Ferrari? I'll never forget bumping into Charles Leclerc after the race at Zandvoort last year. He retired and he was very down. The car had been really difficult at this race last year. He said actually it was a turning point for them because they were trying some experiments with setup, and actually it did then improve for the rest of the season. But it'll be a bit of a litmus test, I think, this weekend to see what progress Ferrari have or haven't made in the last 12 months, to see how that car performs at Zandvoort.
Yeah, and like you said, it's a high downforce track. Another high downforce track is Monaco, of course. But that was the last time we saw Ferrari shine. Charles winning there, of course. But after that, it's a disaster. I think on the Friday in Hungary, which also is a high downforce track, we saw some sparks as well. I remember talking with some people at other teams. They said, oh, Ferrari here will be competitive as well. And then later in the weekend, not as good as we expected. But normally, if you look at the track, if they get the setup right, normally, yeah, they should be competitive at least here. A little bit more competitive than they are on Spa and that kind of tracks. But I'm really curious to see how that goes. And also with Lewis, of course, he looks at Ferrari as well. How are they evolving? So that's also a question or a nice storyline for the next 10 races.
In fact, we've got a lot to talk about in the paddock on Thursday, haven't we? Because, of course, Carlos Sainz has committed to Williams for 2025 and beyond. James Vowles, cock-a-hoop about signing him. He's been pushing very hard for a long time. Having had his first meeting with Carlos and his family back in Abu Dhabi at the end of last year. So before Lewis Hamilton had announced he was even leaving to go to Ferrari, Sainz was talking to Williams. Were you surprised that he settled on them and not Audi or Alpine?
Audi is... And maybe there are too many questions for him. How Audi will be, how competitive they will be in 26. It's very difficult if you start over again with a new engine to be competitive from minute one. That's a big question. So I can imagine he is doing this. And I can imagine as well that at some point he wanted to make a decision, because we're speaking about Carlos's future since February. But I remember in Hungary, his father flew in. He was there for 1 or 2 days. Only to talk with the team. So then you could feel already, okay, a decision is nearby. But I think that's for everyone, it's good. So now we have only a few seats available yet. And I think what will be September, October, we have all the seats set for next year. I think Mercedes will not wait too long anymore as well. I think they made the decision already.
Tell us, made what decision? Just...
Yeah, I already said I think that Verstappen will stay at Red Bull for at least for 25. So I think Toto will choose Antonelli for a seat next to George, and then of course I think he still hopes for Max for 26, which if that's the case, and it will be 25, will be very interesting at Mercedes and for George Russell as well, because his contract is expiring after 25 and he has to show this year and next year that he is a Mercedes driver for the future as well.
And then just while we're talking the driver market, Alpine, there's one seat available. My sources are saying Jack Doohan.
That's what I heard as well. Yeah. So I think they... For Jack Doohan, it's really, I think he was popping some champagne. I don't know if he drinks, but when he heard that Carlos definitely went to Williams, because I think that was the only competitor for that seat, serious competitor is what I heard. So I think they will announce that soon. But also with Formula One, the teams are in contact. They want to spread the news a bit, right? So they want to announce, maybe they will announce Jack next week. I don't know, before this week before the race, or next week before the Monza race, or then Antonelli will be for the Monza race because it's Italy, so they always are in contact.
Look, and then Sauber, there's a seat available with Bottas stays. Is that what you think?
Yeah, that's what I think as well. For him, it's like going for one more year for the team as well. They know each other. I think that's a safe thing to do before the big change to Audi comes. Yeah.
All right. And then V-Carb, Yuki Tsunoda's already signed up. Daniel Ricciardo isn't. Liam Lawson is in the wings. 3 into 2 doesn't go.
Yeah, it's interesting to see also with Checo, because then if you count all the drivers, you have one too many. And now what Marco said already, that they have to make a decision with Liam in September, because I think there's something in his contract that if he doesn't know anything about his future, he can go free after the year. But I think he deserves a seat. And V-Carb, the second team of Red Bull, is a development team, a young driver team. And Yuki is there already for 4 years now as well. And Daniel, of course, is a very experienced driver. So to your all-talent group, they have some talented drivers in the pool as well, in the Formula 2 and Formula 3. It will be another good signal if again, you go on with Yuki and with Daniel and that team. I think Liam deserves a chance as well.
So where would you put Liam?
Well, good question.
Would you lease him out? Would you loan him to Alpine?
Depends. If Perez is performing like this for the next couple of months, I think Red Bull, they cannot hold him for another year. I don't know exactly what the clauses are and stuff, but... And then it depends. If Daniel is doing a great job the next couple of months, you can promote him again. And if he's not and you want to stick with Daniel, then I think you should put Liam next to Max Verstappen. Because I think he showed last year, of course it was only 4 or 5 races, right? But he showed his talent. And it's not a good signal again to have someone on the bench for that many years. Okay, if the team is performing well, if all the 4 drivers are performing on the maximum, there's no point of discussion. But that's not the case, of course. So it's really difficult to explain to the younger drivers, okay, you have to wait still.
2025 marks the 60th anniversary of the first Honda Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix. More than half a century later, the drive and innovation that powers Honda Racing still inspires everything Honda does, from F1 victories to the Civic Hybrid being named the 2025 North American Car of the Year. Honda Racing is leading the charge when it comes to innovation. And here's where it gets really cool. Every Honda-powered F1 car is packed with sensors, hundreds of them, all feeding live data straight back to the Honda Racing team in Sakura, Japan. We're talking about real-time analysis that helps engineers squeeze out every ounce of performance on the track. And the amazing part? That same cutting-edge thinking is making its way into the cars we drive every day, thanks to the expertise of Honda Racing engineers. Their work has led to advances like the hybrid technology now used in Honda's consumer vehicles. The 2025 Civic Sedan Hybrid is engineered for fun, from the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Civic and the latest Honda innovations at honda.com.
So many decisions are being made in Formula One at the minute. Another one being Ollie Oakes is coming in as team principal, replacing Bruno Famin at Alpine. He comes with some pedigree. He's been the boss of Hi-Tech, which coincidentally is a team that Jack Doohan has driven for in the junior formulas. So he knows Jack Doohan should he get promoted at Alpine. But what do you think is job number one for Ollie Oakes at Alpine?
Yeah, that's the most difficult one for team principal, is first create some peace in the top of the team. Of course, it's not his job only. I think they have Briatore on board as well now, of course, and Luca de Meo on the top. But to create less panic, because there's a lot of things going wrong, also with the two drivers sometimes fighting each other on track. And also Alpine, Bruno Famin is an experienced guy, and he still will be working for Renault, right, after this. But in these kind of times, it's also good if you have a team principal, because the team principal, if he talks with you or me or with the press, he also talks with the crowd, with the fans. And it's good that you have maybe a more team principal with a little bit more charisma, whose English is better. No offense, of course, to Bruno Famin, but that was not his best quality, right? And it's not the most important thing, because the most important thing is you're doing a good job internally, but that's also a big big fact now nowadays in sports that you have a good face to the outside world where people can speak to.
You need a charismatic leader.
That's what, yeah, you know, that's what I mean.
Toto Wolff.
Toto Wolff. Also, I think James Fowles at Williams, he's not as charismatic as Toto is, but he gives a fresh energy also to the outside world, right? Like I said, it's not the most important thing, but also it helps also with the positive image for a team.
Now is the most difficult part of the podcast, Eric, because we do our podium predictions.
Oh, God.
It is difficult. And if the race is anything like last year's, when we had, 82 pit stops. Do you remember everyone started the race on the dry tyres, but then the rain came down on lap one and two, and some drivers pitted after the first lap, others after. I mean, it was a chaotic, brilliant race. And if it's dry, it should be, I think they say, Pirelli say a one-stop strategy is the quickest way to do this. So looking at the forecast, you say it's a little bit unpredictable, but I think that's more temperature rather than rain. I don't see rain on my forecast. So let's say it's going to be a dry race for the sake of our predictions. How do you see it?
Yeah, I think we don't need rain to have unpredictable weekends. Difficult. I think I go for, but my predictions are really bad, to be honest. So don't listen to me. But I go a little bit blunt. I go for Oscar Piastri winning.
Why do you say Oscar?
I think he makes some good steps in the races as well. So if he goes on in qualifying as well, a bit better. But I think he made steps in that area as well. Then he can win on this kind of tracks. I think mentally he is on a really good spot. It's not that he makes a lot of mistakes nowadays. And I think he's in a really good form. I just said Piastri, but I could have said Norris as well, because I said McLaren is favorite. And then I say Verstappen on two and Lando on three.
That's really, really interesting. I agree. I think Piastri's best race in Formula One to date was the last one at Spa. Okay, apart from the mistake with the front jackman in the pit lane, he executed a brilliant Grand Prix. Whereas Lando made another mistake at the start. And we need to see fewer mistakes from Lando. He's the first to say that himself. Two McLarens on the podium with Max P2 from you. I think, for what it's worth, that Max is going to win this Grand Prix. You know, Nigel Mansell used to say that the home support was worth, I think he said, half a second a lap at Silverstone. And of course, drivers will say, well, it shouldn't be worth anything. You should be performing at that level at every race. But I think it's subliminal. It's in your subconscious that's just raising the game. Maybe it's energy levels throughout the weekend. It gives you something. And Max has proven time and again this year that he can do things with that car that other drivers quite simply can't. And I think he starts as favourite for me. I'm going to put a McLaren P2. I was thinking that Lando might have gone away over the summer break, thought about it, and I think we could see an energised, renewed Lando Norris come back in Zandvoort. And I was going to put George Russell third, because I think Merck will be there or thereabouts, and George has got something to prove after what happened at Spa with the disqualification.
When I put the McLaren on P3 afterward, I was thinking, oh, maybe Mercedes can be on the podium as well, for sure. But I agree in what you say as well. I can imagine what you say about Max, because with all the Dutch crowd and all the people there, and maybe it gives him a little bit more pressure, but we didn't see that in his performances last couple of years. And they're really well in getting him a little bit away from all the chaotic scenes, and he can be in his own world. So he is really good in that as well. So it doesn't give him the pressure that it's going to be too much pressure in your head that you're overthinking.
He thrives on pressure, doesn't he? I think.
Yeah. You see it when he has a bad weekend, if sometimes that even happened. The week after, you see, like Spa, of course, he gets the grid penalty, but his pole position and his qualifying was unbelievable. And also Austria as well, if you remember his qualifying there. I think he did
one of the best quali laps of the season on the shortest lap of the year.
Yeah, he did four. I think he did four laps more good enough for pole position. The both laps in Q2 and the both laps in Q3. So that shows enough, right? That he can do it in every track. And yeah, if you're on Zandvoort on pole position, especially when it's staying dry on Sunday, I won't say it's 50 or 60% in the back, but it helps you a lot. Yeah.
After a very underwhelming first half of the season, our F1 fantasy team, F1 Nation Racing, is recharged after the summer break and ready to go again for the rest of 2024. Going into the final 10 races, it's safe to say our title chances are somewhat slim. We're in P79,278 in the F1 Nation World Championship. Leapers 1 lead the way, but the LOLs are just 3 points behind in second, so that's going to be a spicy showdown, especially with Porsche F1 just a further 26 points behind in P3. For Zandvoort, we've got to go with the home hero because I really fancy him to return to winning ways in front of the Orange Army. Eric's confident that he'll at least be back on the podium, along with both McLarens, so we'll go with a lineup of Max Verstappen, Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri, then Daniel Ricciardo and Nico Hülkenberg, with Williams and Haas as our constructors. Remember, F1 Fantasy is free to play. Just go to f1.com or the official F1 app to enter your team and join the F1 Nation World Championship 2024 to compete against us and other listeners. Remember, you have until the start of qualifying for the Dutch Grand Prix to make any changes to your team. Good luck. Eric, it's going to be an amazing weekend. The atmosphere in Zandvoort is always brilliant. Funnily enough, I feel the promoter at Zandvoort raised the bar for lots of other promoters. I think this was the first race to bring in DJs and music, and now pretty much every Grand Prix is doing that.
So, it's not the music where I listen to when I'm at home or in the car. But if you are there, it gives you a special vibe, right? And with all the people, You saw that the Olympics in Paris as well. You saw it with the European Championships football with the Dutch fans. They all go from left to the right and from left to the right. It gives you nice for the pictures and for the videos. It's great seeing also for the vibe. It's something you don't see at other races, right? Like that kind of vibe. Of course, I agree with you. You see a lot of promoters now copying as well with the entertainment and also with the environment, but also what we see with DJs and performance. But still, they manage to be one of their kind, right? With all the entertainment around the track.
Yeah, it's a brilliant vibe. And Eric, thank you for bringing the Dutch vibe to F1 Nation this week. It's been brilliant to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
Thanks, mate. Bye-bye.
Qualifying for the Dutch Grand Prix starts at 1500 local time on Saturday, with lights out for the 72-lap race at the same time on Sunday. Check out f1.com or the official F1 app for your local timings. And don't forget that you can still be at a race this season. Tickets for Austin, Las Vegas, and the rest of the 2024 calendar are on sale now. Just go to tickets.formula1.com to book your place. One final thing from me is this week's F1 Beyond the Grid, out Wednesday, is with Charles Leclerc. And he's absolutely fascinating about the season so far and, of course, having Lewis Hamilton as his teammate in 2025. But thank you very much for listening. We will, of course, be back next Monday from the Zandvoort paddock with our review of the Dutch Grand Prix. But for now, F1 Nation is produced by Formula One and Audioboom Studios.
F1 2025 marks the 60th anniversary of the first Honda Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix. More than half a century later, the drive and innovation that powers Honda racing still inspires everything Honda does, from F1 victories to the Civic Hybrid being named the 2025 North American Car of the Year. Honda Racing is leading the charge when it comes to innovation. And here's where it gets really cool. Every Honda-powered F1 car is packed with sensors, hundreds of them, all feeding live data straight back to the Honda Racing team in Sakura, Japan. We're talking about real-time analysis that helps engineers squeeze out every ounce of performance on the track. And the amazing part? That same cutting-edge thinking is making its way into the cars we drive every day, thanks to the expertise of Honda Racing engineers. Their work has led to advances like the hybrid technology now used in Honda's consumer vehicles. The 2025 Civic Sedan Hybrid is engineered for fun, from the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Civic and the latest Honda innovations at honda.com.